Great. Thanks a lot, Phil. Many thanks also to Dennis Galligan for the invitation to be here. My name is Jonathan Bright. I'm a research fellow at the Oxford Internet Institute. That's part of the University of Oxford. We're a department specializing in the study of society online. There are about 40 researchers working for us, some of whom are in the audience right now, though I'm not going to embarrass them by pointing them out, working in all sorts of different aspects of society online, including things like crowdsourcing and WikiLeaks, which I think is one of the reasons I was invited to speak tonight. I was really pleased to get the invitation, but also a little bit daunted, I have to say, because WikiLeaks is a subject which has been intensely mediatized, especially there was a period in 2010 where it was really in the news in a continuous basis for several weeks, if not months, and it's been in and out of the news ever since. And you're also just about to watch a two-hour, an extremely good two-hour movie on the subject, which I don't want to preempt too much. So what can I possibly add to that? I was wondering for a while. What I decided to do, which is something that academics are, of course, doing all the time, is to put WikiLeaks into a bit of context. Not into the context of leaking, both because that's not really a speciality of mine, and also because the WikiLeaks saga, and especially the things that involved around Iraq and Afghanistan, were presented as kind of unique in the history of leaking, but to put WikiLeaks into the context of crowdsourcing initiatives, so focus more on the wiki rather than the leaks aspect of WikiLeaks. And here I think WikiLeaks is in many respects not unique, or at least not as unique as it's often portrayed to be, and certainly some of the things in the film which are presented as quite unique and unusual are actually quite frequently seen dynamics in certain types of crowdsourcing organisations. And I think if we look at WikiLeaks in the context of online crowdsourcing, this provides a new perspective on certain of the legal and ethical, especially, issues which are raised by the WikiLeaks saga. And I think WikiLeaks is at heart a kind of ethical debate, which is why people are still talking about it. So let me say a little bit about crowdsourcing. One kind of basic way of defining crowdsourcing would simply be the division of tasks and then their distribution. The division of tasks into small chunks and then their distribution to a very large amount of people, a crowd of people. It's a kind of almost uniquely internet phenomenon, crowdsourcing. People like Clay Shirky, Jochen Benkler have written about how the lowering of transaction costs and communication costs which the internet have brought about have made this type of distributed work much more possible. Even though things like freelancing have existed in the past, you need very fast communication technologies, you need very agile and very stable technological infrastructures to allow people to contribute an hour of their time to a project in a valuable way, which can be integrated with lots of other hours of lots of other people's time. There's lots of good examples of crowdsourcing in practice. They're in the profit sector, there's things like Odesk and Mechanical Turk, which are really taking off at the moment, which I'm sure some of you have heard of and perhaps even know a little bit about. Odesk especially is a place where you can get people to work as web designers, as graphic designers for publications, as personal assistants, as legal assistants. All of these types of things have been outsourced to large masses of people, especially in places like the Philippines, in Bangladesh, working around the clock. As ways of kind of taking these jobs, which were previously done by one person, and splitting them up and giving them to a crowd of people to work on. There are also lots of examples of crowdsourcing in the not-for-profit sector. Galaxy Zoo, which is run out of the University of Oxford, is a project which allows people to classify galaxies on the basis of which way they're rotating and what type of shape they look like. There's a citizen science project which allows people to go online and participate in various different types of experiments. And of course, there's Wikipedia, the kind of near namesake of WikiLeaks, which is the most classic example of a crowdsourced project. People from all over the world contributing small amounts of their time to help grow and build an encyclopedia. I think WikiLeaks fits in many ways into this crowdsourcing model. At least when it was founded and incepted, the idea was that anyone could contribute a leak, and that their electronic kind of Dropbox where you could put leaked files into was open to anyone from kind of anywhere in the world who had something worth leaking. They had an editorial style, although they moved away from this in the end, which allowed crowds of people also to come and edit the leaks, to say which ones were important, to decide which ones should be published and where. And they also have a kind of crowdsourced distribution platform, and this is something the movie will highlight a little bit later, that they wanted the servers to be hosted in lots of different countries around the world to make them more resistant to surveillance and control. I think this is important because there's a lot of research on crowdsourcing, and therefore we know a lot about how crowdsourcing initiatives turn out. We know a lot about the dynamics of how people participate in these things and what motivates them to participate. And a lot of the things which happened to WikiLeaks, I should say, have happened in other crowdsourcing contexts in other places. I want to highlight three points on this in particular. First of all, there's the nature of the contributors. For a crowdsourcing project, anyone, in theory, can contribute. Anyone can go and create an account and start contributing to Wikipedia, just like anyone can go and create an account on Galaxy Zoo and start classifying galaxies, and anyone can go and leak a document on WikiLeaks. And this is part of the egalitarian ideology of a lot of these platforms. They're designed around being open to all, open to participation for all, and also the knowledge they produce being open to all at the end. And you'll hear a lot about this, especially from Assange himself in the film, about how WikiLeaks is designed and set up like this. However, we also know that in practice, not everyone contributes, and certainly not everyone contributes in an equal way. In internet studies, there's a classic rule known as the 1% rule, or sometimes the 1990 rule, which means that any website which is open to participation, 90% of the people who use that website won't participate at all, they'll just read the material. 9% of people will participate some of the time, and 1% of the people will be the ones that participate the most and really contribute the most content to those platforms. And this is something which you can see all over the place. Anyone who's signed up to Facebook, and I think most of you probably are, or some type of social media, will know that the vast majority of content on those platforms is created by a small subset of your friends and followers. Some people you'll be following don't put out anything. Some people put out a lot. So the same applies to Wikipedia. There's around 30,000 active editors of the Wikipedia site, which is, I think, amazing considering how many millions and millions of people use the site every day and how many people theoretically could contribute to it. And it's the same for Galaxy Zoo. This is a site which has had hundreds of thousands, millions of contributors, but the majority of their classifications have been done by a very small minority of the people that have done them. And this is important because then the subjects of the crowdsource platforms, even though theoretically egalitarian and open to all, come to reflect the nature of the very small number of participants which really have the time and energy to dedicate themselves to participating on the platform. Wikipedia is famously criticized for being much more expert on things like Star Trek or computer games than it is on countries in Africa or topics such as feminism or political subjects. And this is not necessarily a criticism of Wikipedia in itself, because it's open and free to use. I think it's a fantastic platform. But it reflects the interests of the people who have the time and the energy to participate, and to participate a lot. It's especially important when it comes to settling disputes on Wikipedia. A frequent complaint of academics on Wikipedia is that they propose a revision to an article, but end up getting shouted down by someone who is able to spend longer on the argument, essentially, in the forum of Wikipedia, spend longer talking about what they're interested in. Now, the film reflects a lot, and you'll see this, about the unique personalities behind the WikiLeaks project, people like Julian Assange and Bradley, or now Chelsea Manning, as Phil Lins was saying. And this, I think, it's a really crucial part of the WikiLeaks story. However, I want to emphasize it's not unusual at all to have a crowdsourced project where the vast majority of what's going on was actually created by a small amount of people, and therefore their personalities really came to matter in terms of what was important. So one of the things Julian Assange decided to focus on that he was really interested in was what the US government was doing during the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, that's a perfectly legitimate topic to focus on, but it's only one thing that a crowdsourced leaks platform might be interested in. As you'll see, WikiLeaks started off talking more about banking crises and had a leak about an Icelandic bank. And this could have been another direction the platform had taken if one of these small groups of people who'd been really interested in it had been interested in something else. So that's the first thing, the nature of the contributors. Second thing, nature of expertise. Crowdsource platforms are constantly in a kind of conflict between the other version, if you like, of what that platform would look like if it was not crowdsourced, if it was done by professionals, by experts. So for Wikipedia, the obvious example would be professional encyclopedias, like the Encyclopedia Britannica. Can it compete with them? Can it offer the same type of output, the same type of quality as them? Can it replace them? This is a hard kind of question to answer, whether experts can be better than the crowd. There's been a lot of research on it. People have compared Wikipedia to Encyclopedia Britannica, finding the quality more or less equal, but both of them had mistakes in key areas. Galaxy Zoo, the Galaxy classification app, has found that crowdsourced classifications, when they can be applied en masse to get three or four or five people to classify a galaxy, are much better than expert classifications. And this is kind of obvious because if you ask an expert to classify 1,000 or 2,000 galaxies, by the time he or she has passed even 100, they're so bored that they just keep clicking through. But if you have a large crowd of people, they're much fresher and they can offer much better examples. In the case of WikiLeaks, of course, the other example would be the print media. This is the institution which has traditionally regulated leaking and traditionally provided the platform for leaking. And in the film, you'll see a lot of discussion about how the print media could be brought into the process about deciding which material to leak and which material not to leak, and how they can bring their specific expertise to bear on this. In particular, the crucial decision was, will these leaks cause more harm than good, or will they put at risk certain people? How can we anonymize them? Lots of the leaks were about classified intelligence documents about operations going on in Iraq and Afghanistan, perhaps containing the names of informants which had participated or collaborated in some way with the US Army. Can we anonymize these leaks solely by removing all names from the documents? Seems like a reasonable proposition, but what happens if the document makes reference to the mayor of Kabul without saying anyone's name? It's going to be pretty easy to track that person down. Or there are lots of other examples where it's even less obvious that that can be anonymized, but nevertheless, this person could be identified. What I would say about crowdsourcing is that research has been pretty clear that if you ask multiple people to make the same decision, they'll disagree. If you ask multiple people to classify the same galaxy, they'll give you different answers each time. If you ask multiple people whether a message is kind of positive in tone or negative in tone, which is an application often done in kind of in sentiment analysis, which was one major academic use of crowdsourcing, they'll disagree. They'll give you different answers each time. And this, I think, raises big questions about the ideas of using crowdsource knowledge to make very sensitive decisions about whether certain documents should go in one way or another. Because we know, and we have a lot of research that demonstrates, that if you get people together to make mass decisions, you will be able to get an aggregate result out of it at the end, but you won't get them to agree every time on the same thing. So that's the second thing, nature of expertise. Final thing I want to say something about is the nature of political control. One of the attractions of crowdsourced platforms is they're distributed, and often distributed very internationally. And if you are distributed internationally, this makes it much harder for you to be controlled by national regulation. This is something that both international campaigning organizations and multinational corporations know very, very well. If you have an international presence, it'd be much harder for you to be pinned down by any particular national jurisdiction. Crowdsourced operations are theoretically less amenable to certain types of government control. And this is one of the major foundational claims made by WikiLeaks, I think, that they are above any one particular national government, above any one particular type of national control. And there certainly seems to be a lot to that argument. However, it's also worth noting that they have their weaknesses. And in particular, crowdsourced operations rely on other types of technological platforms for their support. They rely on other types of things going on in the internet for their architecture. As many bloggers have found out when they've started posting controversial content, your blogging platform will be happy to host your blog, but they're certainly not going to go to court to defend your right to publish. And if they get a certain aggressive libel action being brought against WordPress.com or Blogger.com or anything else, they're much more likely to pull your blog, regardless of whether there's any merit in that action or not, than they are to try and defend your rights in court, in the same way that a newspaper will probably much more aggressively defend its right to publish. WikiLeaks found, in many ways, the same thing. even though their technical distributed architecture has allowed them to stay online, has been very effective and distributed these documents. One thing highlighted in the film is that their apparatus for getting donations in, especially through sites like PayPal, Visa, and MasterCard, was very effectively targeted by the US government, saying you should stop us accepting these donations because it's legally questionable. Now, as the people in the film will highlight, this was never tested in court. It wasn't a court order. It was never clear whether these people could be effectively banned like that. But places like Visa and MasterCard are just not up for that fight. They will not have that fight on your behalf. And if you are a crowdsourced operation and you're relying on other types of architecture to stay online, they're much more vulnerable to attack. A second point about politics is the nature of internal politics of the site. Because there aren't often clearly developed structures, informal hierarchical structures seem to be very quickly possible to develop and take root. Wikipedia has recently been strongly criticized for the emergence of a very masculine, very aggressive culture developing in its comments section, which is very off-putting for new editors, especially. The amount of editors on Wikipedia has declined by about 25% since its height in 2008, even though the population using the internet and the population using Wikipedia has continued to skyrocket up and up like that. So it's a major worry for Wikipedia right now. How do we attract new editors and new blood into the site? How do we change the culture, the internal politics of the site? And if you have a site which has no formal organizing structure, a crowdsourced type site, it's much more vulnerable to this type of internal informal domination. And this is something which became very clear in the case of WikiLeaks, and the film goes into a lot of detail on that, so I won't say too much more about that. So there's three points about what we know about crowdsourcing: nature of the contributors, how they can bring expertise and how they work with other expert organizations, and the nature of politics, both the political control from external actors and internal within the organization. I want to try and bring that back to a final point, which I'd suggest would be a good thing to kind of reflect on during the film. The WikiLeaks story, like many stories about leaking, is a kind of fundamental normative question. Should they have done it? Should they have taken that risk with the documents? Did it do more harm than good? Were they right to do it? I think most people in the room probably already have an opinion on that. Perhaps the film will change your mind. Most of our research suggests that it won't, and whatever your opinion is, it will reinforce it. But what I would suggest is that you could also think about a more fundamental question, which is not that was WikiLeaks right in this individual case, but is WikiLeaks the right model for a leaking organization in contemporary society? So if you think WikiLeaks was wrong, is that because they got it wrong in this specific case? Is it because they shouldn't have released those specific documents? Or is it because, in general, the authority to leak documents can't be vested in some type of crowdsourced organization? It needs to be vested in some types of news media organization. It should only be the news outlets, which are professional, which are experts, which know when to publish and how to publish, which should have managed that type of leaking. And if you think WikiLeaks is right, is that because they only got it right in this case, and that the specific context of the Iraq and Afghan wars, which were very, very controversial, would justify almost any measure to bring some more light into what went on in those wars and how that contrasted to what was said about what was going on? Or is this because there is something inherently kind of uniquely better about a crowdsourced model for leaking than a normal journalistic model for leaking? Is there something extra that the WikiLeaks model gives us that the newspapers don't? I think this is important because, well, we don't really know what the future is going to hold for WikiLeaks at the moment. We know that its kind of chief spokesman and the driving force behind it is currently stuck in an embassy, and we don't know how long he'll be there for. We know that they're having trouble with funding, having trouble with keeping the whole organization going. Perhaps it will go further, perhaps not, I don't know. But the question is, if it doesn't go further, should it be replaced with something like that? Should we have another WikiLeaks, in the same way that I think most people would agree, if Wikipedia fell tomorrow, we should have another Wikipedia, and that we should keep going with that model? Or should that be the end to the WikiLeaks type experiment? I'll leave you with that thought. Many thanks again for the opportunity to be here, and enjoy the film.